This show has been previously recorded.
Today we present a special Best of Money Chat Now with Larry Steinhaus. So sit back, relax, enjoy the show, because it's time for the Best of Money Chat Now with your host, Larry Steinhaus.
Good morning, I'm Larry Steinhaus, and welcome to Money Chat Now. Money Chat Now is a politically charged stock market pre-show giving you the politics behind the biggest moves in the stock market. It is presented with comedic common sense by an expert in financial literacy, and hey, that's me, Larry Steinhaus. And I want to welcome you to the show. We are here live on WWDB Radio, 860 AM in Philadelphia, and we are live on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. You can find me on Facebook, TikTok, and other social media by searching Larry Steinhaus. Just a reminder, if you're watching the show online, hit that like button, hit that share button, and don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel and like the Money Chat Now page on Facebook. Of course, you can also comment live during the show on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And please say hi so I know you're watching. Real quick, I'm going to say hi to the people who just said hi. Hey, I want to say hello to Rob, and I want to say hello to Dan. Thanks, guys. I totally appreciate you guys. By the way, if you're commenting from a group and it's not the Money Chat Now fan page, your name may not show up on my dashboard, so please go to Money Chat Now page and comment there so I can recognize you and say hello. Hey, Mick. Hey, Joe. Thanks so much. Money Chat Now, of course, is brought to you by Investor Schooling, and you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday by going to investorschooling.com, and there you will learn about real estate investing and stock option trading from those who do it every day. All right, let's talk about what's happening next. I'm going to talk about Putin being a bully. I remember when I was a kid and the bullies in school would pick on me. I tolerated it until one day I decided to no longer tolerate it or care what happened to me. I remember sitting in the cafeteria. I was eating my lunch and I was talking to friends when I noticed the cafeteria bully was throwing peas at me. You know, at first I would feel the pea hit me and then I would look over and not see where it came from. And it happened again and again and again. Finally, I looked up and saw him do it. This guy was one of those kids you just didn't mess with. But I never actually saw him in a fight or actually ever saw him get caught. It was just assumed that he would kick your butt, you know, if you tried to defend yourself. Well, pee after pee, I got angrier and angrier. Finally, as my blood started to boil, I got up, took my chocolate milk, went over to him, and poured the 8-ounce container over his head. Well, he stood up, ready to go, but something in the look in my eye told him to back down, and he did. He never bothered me again. In fact, when we walked down the halls and passed each other, he would actually nod at me as to say hi. Apparently, this is now the story with Vladimir Putin. We, as Americans and the rest of the world, were scared of this guy. We really were. He sat there, basically, right, in the Kremlin, and he felt that he ruled the world. In fact, he recently joined up with the crazy guy in China, President Xi, and declared that they were the only superpower in the world, and the rest of the world was weak. Now, there may be some truth to the rest of the world being weak, because the rest of the world is more concerned about what gender we are instead of what army we're building. But as Putin is learning, he's losing his title as ruler, and now he's becoming just a brat that was a bully a few weeks ago. Who would have thought Ukraine would have defended themselves the way they have? Look, I do realize that Ukraine is probably losing as Russia attacks their land, and Ukraine cannot attack Russia. But the strength of the Ukrainian people and the strength of the president of Ukraine, and he's showing this self-proclaimed king of the world that he's just a bully and he didn't expect a fight from a worthy opponent. He is not only losing his support in his own country, as we've seen through riots and protests in Russia, he's also losing every country, except for, of course, China so far, against him. He's putting them all against him. He's acting like a terrorist instead of a diplomat. Putin has wanted to weaken the West and weaken NATO. However, this invasion of Russia, of Russia's neighbor, is actually doing the opposite. It looks like the countries of NATO are actually making their alliance stronger as they look to have Putin removed from office, or hopefully removed from this planet. We know that NATO cannot go into Ukraine and help because it would likely start World War III. However, as we watch this event, we may see Putin accomplish the exact opposite of what he is trying to do, or at least what we were perceiving he was trying to do. Remember that Putin's goal was to keep Ukraine out of NATO. And that may be a little difficult after all of this, right? The world will be mourning for thousands of Ukrainians who died, and their anger will push NATO countries to get involved in any way they can. We're also now seeing Poland offering planes to Ukraine. However, that will be with the stipulation that the United States replace those planes with more modern planes, so Poland will get more modern planes. And, you know, at first sight, many of us thought this war wouldn't happen, and then we thought it would be over quickly. And soon, you know, we thought that Russia would own Ukraine as they surrendered. Look, I see that as a short-term ending, but when the page changes in the next chapter, we're going to see other countries and ourselves getting together. The Ukraine will be stronger, and Russia will actually be weaker. Not necessarily weaker in their defense, but weaker in their leadership. Unless something big changes, and that, my friends, by the way, could be really scary. And in fact, if Russia's holding back and they unleash itself in full force against Ukraine, ooh, it'll be really bad. The Ukrainians in the world will feel that pain. All right, let's talk about Facebook and Russia. Russia's media regulator said on Friday that it will block access to Meta-owned Facebook in the country as it escalates pressure on the media outlets and tech platforms amid its invasion in Ukraine. All right. So just like here, Russia is faced with the problem of Facebook deciding what is news and what is false information. You know, like when we post something about, you know, the thing that was supposed to stop the other thing that didn't, that caused medical issues, and that Facebook and also social media platforms blocked. You know, social media platforms like YouTube that shut me down twice now because I read news articles and directly quoted the Wall Street Journal about major drug companies actually reporting about the thing that was supposed to cure other things. Why did I use the actual words? Because I want to be able to use my social media platforms to get this information out to you guys listening and watching. The censorship from big tech is out of control. Russia has decided to do something about it. Now, please don't think that I'm on Russia's side. Honestly, there are things, you know, there are things about this that don't add up, like in the beginning of the thing. I mean, the thing from the past 2 years. I wanted to make any conclusions. I don't want to make any conclusions before I tore down yellow tape in the playgrounds. You guys remember when I tore down the yellow tape in the playgrounds? I waited, and I wanted to see what was going on. Oh, you didn't know about that? Look up some old videos on Facebook, and you will literally see me tearing down yellow tape in playgrounds and freeing our children and getting back their lives. All right, let's get back to Russia for a minute. Russia has decided they've had enough censorship of Facebook, and they have blocked access to Facebook to their citizens. It started first with a request for the platform to stop fact-checking and labeling content posted on Facebook by state-owned outlets like RT and Sputnik. Meta, of course, Facebook, refused the request. And it's weird that Russia is fighting against the fact-checking and we in America just accept the censorship and labels as the price of using social media platforms. The Russians are getting it right, but the world hates them right now, and they should. However, the censorship of any information should be allowed as free speech. I have been trying to find information on why Russia justified the slaughter of Ukrainians, and I don't think, and by the way, don't think I'm on their side for a second. I'm not. You don't just go in and destroy a country just because you have problems. You try to work it out. I also just wanted to understand it from their side. The problem is that big tech has made it impossible to find this information. Every once in a while, someone sends me a YouTube video, and then the video soon disappears like the information did on the thing of the past 2 years. Yes, Putin is an a-hole, but social media companies are dead wrong to censor anything. They have no right to decide truth. And by the way, if you want to find me on Truth Social, search at Larry Steinhaus. However, if I'm wondering if they're even censoring stuff yet. Let's take a break, and I'll see you in a few minutes.
Investor Schooling needs a new slogan.
Investor Schooling? Never heard of.
Investor Schooling?
Never heard of.
Investor Schooling? Never heard of them.
Any suggestions? Phil?
Investor Schooling? We never heard of you either.
Investor Schooling? We never heard of you either.
Register for a free class at investorschooling.com.
All right, welcome back to Money Chat Now. I am your host, Larry Steinhaus. And if you'd like more information on investor schooling, you can go to investorschooling.com or call 866-424-2829, 866-424-2829. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening on WWDB Radio AM in Philadelphia. And if you're watching online, please hit that share button so you can help your friends learn how to make more money and learn about the politics behind the stock market. Hit that like button. Let me know you enjoy the show. And you can also leave comments on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube, and I will try to respond to them. Hey, I want to say hello to Lana. I think she's a new viewer. And she says, I'm nuts. Yeah, that's probably true. All right, hey, let's talk a little bit about Russian trade status. So we all know that Russia invaded Ukraine. And if you didn't know, just ask Kamala Harris.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
I still want to know if she was talking to a kindergarten class when she did that. No, I know she wasn't. She was actually on the news talking to everybody. It's amazing, right? And of course, Biden, the one who picked her for this job, by the way, is moving to sever normal trade ties with Russia. I just can't get over that clip. All right, and he wants to ban imports of seafood, vodka, and diamonds, as joined by other countries in ratcheting up economic pressure on Moscow for its invasion of Ukraine. So basically, the U.S. wants to cancel Russia as a most favored nation. So this is what's really going on. So the first thing they want to do is they want to cancel Russia as a most favored nation. I realize you have never heard this expression or label before, so let me explain what it really means. A nation with the status most favored trade nation simply means that any tariffs for trade are equal in both countries. So if one nation, for example, trades clothing with a 15% tariff, then the returning nation can only charge a 15% tariff for that same category. So while all the news outlets yesterday were saying that you won't be able to buy Russian diamonds, Russian seafood, and Russian vodka from Russia, that isn't exactly true. You know, I love it how people take a small piece of information and make it bigger, and that's what, basically, maybe we should have Kamala Harris describe that. Also, in order to change the trade status, it will take a vote of Congress. Now, I will tell you that the House is going to take that up next week, says DeWitch Pelosi. But I realize we do want to punish Russia, but seriously, is this going to work? All we're doing and saying is, yes, you can import goods from Russia, but you have to pay higher tariff rate. The other option, which is what they really should do, or maybe consider doing, is to ban all goods from Russia, period. Once again, this is going to be a punishment to our country. So even Elon Musk's companies, you know, such as Tesla and SpaceX, have been buying aluminum from Russia for many years, and the tariffs will add to the price of manufacturing the cars, but an all-out shutoff of aluminum flowing into the country may cause delays in manufacturing for Tesla and other companies. So this could be a problem. Think about this, right? We have so many people that need aluminum, we just can't supply it all. That might be a boost for Alcoa, by the way. So if this does happen, look for Alcoa stock to go up. And, you know, as you know, it's basically a tangled web, and I still don't fully understand the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, but I know it's affecting the world and Russia in many negative ways. All right. Let's talk a little bit about oil prices. So it seems that oil prices are rising again, only this time I'm skeptical as to the reason for the rise. I've often said that the news circulating around finances in the stock market is very manipulative, and the reports I'm reading about the reasons oil prices are rising have me a bit suspicious. Oil jumped this morning to a high of about 111, and it's still short, by the way, of the almost $130 a barrel about 2 weeks ago when the war started. And we know that U.S. has declared that they won't be buying oil from Russia during this confrontation. However, we've also discovered that only 7.9% of our oil comes from Russia anyway. So we saw oil prices drop last week to below 100. So what's going on? To me, you ready? It looks like another Dr. Fauci incident. No, not the real Dr. Fauci, but someone at the International Energy Agency is claiming We should all work from home and lower speed limits because the oil supply may run low. Yep, this is all about another fearmonger trying to become famous, or at least it looks that way to me. This announcement by the IEA is causing the fear that is making the oil prices going up. Here we go again. I would someone find these people and put a mask on them, please? Just put a mask on them, or maybe even a pillow over their face, a muzzle, anything that will shut these fearmongers up. So anyway, expect gas prices to push up slightly until the world realizes that this isn't a real problem. It's just a made-up problem so these people can maybe get rich or famous. It's absolutely ridiculous. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll see you in a minute.
Investor Schooling. Those guys are everywhere.
Investor Schooling. Those guys are everywhere.
Investor Schooling.
Those guys are everywhere.
Investor Schooling.
Those guys are everywhere.
Register for a free class at investorschooling.com.
All right, welcome back to Money Chat Now. I'm your host, Larry Steinhaus. And if you'd like more information on investor schooling, you can go to investorschooling.com or call 866-424-2829, 866-424-2829. And if you're using Hunter Biden's laptop, you could, of course, just go to investor schooling, but use DuckDuckGo, because I don't want anybody to know that Hunter Biden was coming here. All right, let's talk about U.S. oil and where it comes from. So if our problem is all about the price of oil because we are shunning Russia, does that mean if we cut off Russian oil, we will run out? Or, as Putin claimed this morning, does it mean oil will be $300 a barrel shortly? Well, let's talk about where our oil actually comes from. And according to a Wall Street Journal report, the U.S. consumes, you know, far more oil than companies extract domestically. So basically requires oil to be imported on some supplies. But it's less resilient, or I'm sorry, it's less reliant on Russian oil than Europe, and it takes only a small portion of its imported crude from Russia. So check this out. America gets most of its crude oil from Canada, Mexico, and Saudi Arabia. Smaller countries in Latin America and West Africa also typically send more crude oil to the U.S. than Russia does. In fact, over 51% of our oil comes from Canada. We better be nice to those guys. They're right on our border. Yes, that's the pipeline that Biden decided not to build or canceled, and so it's going to take longer for that oil to get here, and the cost will increase. However, we will still have oil coming from other countries, and Russia currently only supplies 7.9% of the oil we use to heat our homes and drive our cars. So if Russia only imports 7.9%, why is Russia so important? Now, this gets interesting, and it's all about updating our refineries. It turns out that the oil in Russia has more sulfur than the oil found elsewhere. The older, non-updated refineries were built for refining oil with higher sulfur content. These were built because the United States wasn't as active in drilling for oil as the other countries with higher sulfur content. So basically, many, many years ago, we only got oil, I mean, we shouldn't say only, but we got most of our oil elsewhere. And then we built refineries for that oil. We certainly can rebuild these refineries, but it's certainly not going to happen in a few months. So the hindsight may help the future. But right now we have to look for oil high in sulfates in other places like Venezuela and Iran. But we have sanctions placed on those countries for quite a few decades now. Iran has a specific sanction stating that they cannot build nuclear power plants. But now Biden is negotiating the very deal that his former boss Obama made to prevent the Iranians from building nukes for a deal to get more oil from Iran. Ugh, what a twisted web we weave. Unbelievable. The other problem is more and more regulations from the past, such as the Jones Act, and basically this was a law that was passed a century ago, has effectively limited the size of vessels that are allowed to transport goods between U.S. ports. So that has left oil buyers on the West Coast and East Coast effectively unable to get supplies shipped out of the Gulf Coast. So this makes the shipment of oil limited to smaller vessels, so of course it takes more time and more money to ship it to us. So instead of having one big boat, we have three smaller boats, right? And this is where the idea of pipelines was started, and that's why we pipeline oil from other places, like Canada. Now, getting back to Russia oil, roughly half the oil that the United States imports from Russia goes to the West Coast, where refiners take crude deliveries from overseas largely because they aren't connected by pipelines to the Permian Basin, the largest U.S. oil field. So basically, think about that. The West Coast, once again, is controlling through regulation and green and these Democrats, it's controlling what's happening right now. So West Coast refineries take Russian crude that's shipped out of port of Kosmino in the country's eastern side of the Pacific Ocean. Well, here's a 50-foot view. That's basically a 50-foot view of the oil problem. It's all about regulations and government overreach once again. So what will happen? My prediction is the war will end soon with Russia, and Russia will own Ukraine. It's very sad, but it's what's going to happen, and the world will slowly forget the atrocities, just like they did with Crimea. Then the oil will not be threatened any longer, and of course our country will do nothing to prepare for the next time this happens, so it will happen again. Sorry, green people, your electric doesn't solve this problem. We still need oil for at least the next 20 years at the same rate we have it now. We do not have electric planes, semi-trucks, or boats as of yet. We still need to make sure that as a country, we have a steady supply of oil. And when we can get it faster and easier with the pipelines and less government regulations. So when people say it's Biden's fault we have higher gas prices, they are correct. However, they are only partially correct, because most of the problems are from guys using too much government overreach in the past, and that's what we need to do. We need to stop this government overreach and start allowing people to drill for oil in the United States. And I want to talk about something real quick. I want to talk about what's going on in Russia, because it's an interesting story. This kind of stuff is... I'm into law, and I'm also into, obviously, this war situation, but let's talk about this. Let's talk about Russia and Burger King. So I reported last week that many companies were temporarily closing up in Russia. Starbucks and McDonald's are some of the companies, and they stand to lose billions by closing, basically in protest of the war against Ukraine. Well, it turns out that one company who promised they would join the bandwagon and close up shop in Russia has decided not to do it. But don't jump to conclusions, because Burger King, by the way, is owned by a company called Restaurant Brands International, and it doesn't own full stake in Burger King business in Russia. It turns out that they have a joint venture partner in Russia, and that company has an agreement that does not have a clause in it that says, if Russia goes to war with Ukraine, we can cancel our contract. So that basically means if Burger King wants to close or suspend operations in Russia, they simply can't unless they make their Russian partners whole again. The sanctions against Russia will make it difficult for Burger King to support the Russian arm of the company. However, they are obligated to do what they are allowed to do to support the company. So just for clarification, Burger King only owns 15% of the Russian Burger King business. And my guess is soon you're going to see it rebranded into a new name. And that's probably what's going to happen. But I don't know. Maybe they'll call it like a Burger Kremlin, home of the warmonger. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of tired this morning. My humor's off. Hey, I want to thank all you listeners on WWDB Radio, 860 AM in Philadelphia. I want to thank you for your continued support. And of course, if you're enjoying the show, please reach out and let us know. You can leave comments on Facebook and let us know. My name is Larry Steinhaus. I'm the host of Money Chat Now, and I'm also the CEO of Investor Schooling. And for you guys who haven't pre-ordered my book, go to barnesandnoble.com, look up Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus, and I promise you, you will like this book. You can pre-order it right now. It's available for pre-order, and you will definitely enjoy it. Of course, from time to time, I own some of the assets and options discussed in this show, and the opinions discussed in this show are solely mine, and no one has asked me to discuss them. I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. Have a profitable day.